Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. A few things before we dive into this. One, I'm planning something interesting for AWS's reInvent conference later this year. Now that it's an 18-day long digital monstrosity, I have plans, but I need sponsors to help out with this. If that's you, visit requinvent.com. That's requinvent.com to learn more. More to come on that in the coming weeks. Speaking of sponsors, this episode is sponsored in part by New Relic. Now, I know you're probably thinking I should talk about Datadog, Prometheus, or OpenTelemetry, or something else from, well, you know, this decade. And a month ago, I would have agreed with you. But New Relic did something a little out there, even by New Relic standards. They reworked everything. They went open source, they made it so you can monitor everything in one place, and in the least New Relic thing imaginable, they simplified their pricing. There's a free tier with one user and 100 gigabytes per month, totally free. Check them out at newrelic.com. Now, before I dive into the rest of what Amazon did, they have also announced they're getting into the podcast space, hence relevant to this show. And in order to enroll podcasts in their upcoming platform, there was a terms of service requirement that agreed that we would not disparage Amazon or any of its properties on the podcasts. You can imagine how well that went over here. It turns out cyberbullying works, and after being cited in a whole bunch of different news venues, including Billboard, Pitchfork, and to my everlasting chagrin, Fox News, of all things, Amazon quietly removed that requirement. Because honestly, I'm not going to stop making fun of them. Why would I? That's my entire brand. More seriously, any podcast that would is effectively giving away any semblance it has of journalistic integrity. This isn't a news show, this is entertainment. But let's not kid ourselves into believing somehow that that's not the thin end of a wedge. Hopefully, more isn't to come on that one, but we'll see. Now, what has AWS gotten up to in the last week? We're about to find out. Amazon API Gateway HTTP APIs now support wildcard custom domain names. Slowly but surely, API Gateway is becoming something useful that more and more human beings might actually choose to use at some point. Also, Amazon API Gateway now supports enhanced observability via access logs. Nope! I get that observability is a word that's heavily charged with bias and is the subject of a lot of debate, but no, Amazon, turning on access logging ain't what observability is, Chief. Sorry. Amazon Connect now returns agent to their previous status after finishing an outbound call. This is clearly a lie dreamed up by marketing. There's no way to return an agent who's just finished speaking with me to their previous status of happy. Also, Amazon Connect adds support for early media on outbound phone calls. This is what agents hear when they're waiting for a call to connect. I prefer to subject my outbound telemarketing call center staff to a recording of Primal screaming while they wait for the auto dialer to connect them to their next victim. Amazon ElastiCache for Redis now supports up to 500 nodes per cluster. We're running a 500-node ElastiCache cluster is the kind of thing you say in a job interview when you want the candidate to walk out immediately, but you don't want to be direct and tell them so. AWS Site-to-Site VPN now supports IPv6 traffic. Some of the most boring people in the world will undoubtedly have strong opinions about this. Now manage a popular third-party agent from AWS Systems Manager Distributor. So I had to click through the link on this one to discover that a popular third-party agent is Trend Micro's Cloud One. Cool. I mean, Trend Micro Cloud One sponsors some of my stuff, and I've checked with them and confirm that you are indeed allowed to mention Trend Micro Cloud One by name. So why is AWS treating it like it's the Hebrew name of God instead of writing out Trend Micro Cloud One? Amazon Bracket, go hands-on with quantum computing. I refuse to acknowledge this fascinating service's ridiculous name of Bracket. You can now rent access to three different kinds of quantum supercomputer through the magic of what I'm calling AWS Observerless. The certification in AWS's quantum computing offering is called a doctorate from Stanford. Build and monitor custom Ethereum tokens with Block Scout from AWS Marketplace. You know, at least the AWS gaming team is fully aware that they're empowering entertainment only, with virtually no practical value behind the entertaining parts. The blockchain people will never realize this. Don't email me. Migrating AWS Lambda functions to Amazon Linux 2. Here's how to manage the functions that you run on a service that was sold to you as there's nothing for you to manage. This episode is also sponsored by my friends at Chaos Search. Processing data at scale with an Elk stack is A, budget-breaking, B, soul-crushing, C, time-sucking, or D, all of the above. Because think about it. Chaos Search is a fully managed log analytics platform that leverages your Amazon S3 as a data store. There's no more data movement, there's no data retention limits, and you can save up to 80% versus current log analysis approaches even after paying for their licenses. And that's even before you worry about having to pay staff to maintain Elk. So if you're sick and tired of your Elk stack falling over in the woods or of having your data retention squeezed by increasing costs, then visit chaossearch.io and join the log analysis revolution. Tell them Corey sent you and watch them flinch. Using Amazon MSK as an event source for AWS Lambda. An AWS service is never feature complete until you can use it to fire off Lambda functions. That way, AWS can tell you to spackle over its service gaps yourself and pay for the privilege rather than them fixing things first party the way that they should. A great post on the open source blog, How to Become a Redis Maintainer, One Contribution at a Time. I'm conflicted here. Matt Assay, who wrote this, is a trusted voice in the open source world. But advice on open source coming from a company whose own open source projects are nearly entirely maintained by folks who work there is a bit tough for me to swallow. Where's their broadly adopted open source thingy that isn't, here's how you integrate with AWS services? Demystifying your AWS certification exam score. Okay, when your certification team has to publish a blog post on how to get meaningful data from your exam score for their own certifications, you know someone massively screwed up the grading rubric somewhere. And lastly, 4 steps closer to your AWS cloud career. Now, I thought I'd seen a lot, but career advice coming directly from AWS itself proves that there is still oh so very much more left to see. And that's what happened last week in AWS. If you're struggling with your cloud computing bill, please feel free to reach out to me at duckbillgroup.com. You can always find me on Twitter at QuinnyPig, Q-U-I-N-N-Y, Pig, or yell at me if you happen to see me in the world once we're allowed outdoors again. I'm Chief Cloud Economist at the Duckbill Group, Corey Quinn, and this is the AWS Morning Brief. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Whereas if you've hated this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts anyway. And also tell us what kind of quantum computer you needed to make sense of your AWS bill.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.